fish heads, roly poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum. Fish heads, fish heads, roly poly fish heads.
Hey guys, welcome back. It is Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. I'm your host, Ben Sargent, and today I'm here talking with some real New York royalty, an expert in black gold. I have none other than Joshua Russ Tupper, sure. Tupper from the Russ of Russ and Daughters family. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's
awesome.
Good to be here.
Awesome. And you guys are what they call an appetizing store, Russ and Daughters.
Correct.
Can you explain that to me?
Appetizing is fish and dairy as opposed to deli, which is meat.
Okay. And that is a goes back to a religious kosher thing.
Right. The kashrut laws where you can eat cheese with fish, but you cannot eat cheese with meat.
With meat, so you separate the two. So a deli is one thing, but what you guys do is completely kosher. So you will find
it's
dairy.
We're not kosher.
Right. That's all. Let's
but
talk.
It's just
about
sort
that.
Of like tradition.
Right.
Basically, we're culturally Jewish, not necessarily
culturally
religious.
Jewish,
not necessarily religiously Jewish.
This sounds like my J-date profile.
Oh really? I am culturally Jewish. Exactly. I do not go to temple.
Exactly. Only on high holidays.
Yeah.
Anyways,
really?
So
let's not talk about that.
Okay.
back to fish.
When we're talking about the sturgeon which is really where real caviar comes from, is that right?
Yes. Real caviar is, I think, technically from sturgeon.
Okay.
But we do actually, what we're tasting today is going to be some caviar from paddlefish and hackleback, which are not sturgeon per se, but a very similar fish.
Right. And then would sturgeon qualify? Because I was asking you about this at the shop, but sturgeon doesn't actually have scales in its adult form, right?
Back to the kosher.
I'm really curious about this.
It does not. It is a cartilaginous fish. Mm-hmm. It has skin.
Right.
I actually don't know what you would
call it. More like a shark almost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or an eel or something like that.
And they're huge.
So
these things get to be like 10 feet out in the wild, right?
Depending on the species of sturgeon, they could be, you know, really huge.
Huge.
Like
right.
2 tons.
Right.
Huge.
Incredible.
Which is absurd.
And I brought Josh on today, not just because he's an expert in this stuff, but because there's a black market that's popped up.
That's not why you brought me on. I have nothing to do with the black
Well,
market.
No. You guys are completely legit, and I do want
to
talk to
find
you.
Out where to get illegal
I know I won't find that out from you, but I am just interested in how it affects the market, and sort of what it does to fish populations, because that's just something I deal with on this show a lot.
Yeah, sure. Well, I know from the perspective of a purveyor that's selling legal caviar, and we always have, that one of the biggest reasons for the depletion of sturgeon in the wild, in the Caspian Sea, Russian sturgeon caviar, which is traditionally what people are looking for, is the black market. And people poaching sturgeon, doing it illegally. And there's even lots of laws in place. But the biggest issue when it comes to sturgeon was when the USSR basically fell apart.
Right.
They didn't have one governing body controlling all these states.
Okay.
So the black market exploded.
I see.
And people went crazy because it was a black gold. It was worth a lot of money.
And who was buying it at that time? Are we the culprits? The United States? Or...
I can't really speak to the volume of the black market in the U.S. I know that U.S. Fish and Wildlife is cracking down on it.
Right.
A lot of purveyors in this on the scene.
Yeah.
For the past 10-15 years, a significant percentage of them have spent time in prison.
Really.
Because they're not. They sort of maybe didn't ask enough questions,
or
didn't get all the paperwork.
In other words, they knew.
Yeah, right. Well, I can't say that, but there's very interesting stories. And I can't remember where this article is from, but I read a very interesting article about kind of the history of New York caviar purveyors and things. Mm. And it read almost like a detective novel.
Right.
Like a lot of in and out of prison and
I was wondering about that. Like if one was to find it in New York, would it be, you know, is it the Russian community that still has a hand in it, or is it? I wonder.
I don't know for sure. I know I have some acquaintances that have told me, I can get this cheaper. I can get the wild stuff in Brooklyn.
Right.
I'm like, well, that's illegal.
That's illegal. You know? And it undercuts what you guys do, which is legal.
It doesn't now.
It doesn't?
Which
so,
is great.
Okay, so explain that to me. I guess that's what I'm after. How does the black market affect you guys as a...
Well, there's a cachet of the wild sturgeon caviar. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, you know, the whole illegal wild sturgeon at this point, it's such an issue for the Caspian Sea.
Yeah.
That there are some people that are into it, but it's, you got to be a, kind of a cold hearted.
It's pretty horrible to be taking the last of a species, right?
So,
and not having a hang up about that.
Yeah, we kind of preempted the bans and right. This is the first year that there were no wild sturgeon quotas issued to the U.S.
Okay.
I'm not sure about Europe, but I don't think they could import anything either.
Right.
And so there's definitely wild stuff out there illegally, but we haven't had it for a while. So we preempted this okay. ban. We stopped carrying beluga a couple years.
So what is it?
Beluga's
the big one. And beluga,
beluga's,
I know... It's
off
like,
limits. It's been off limits for 3 or 4 or 5 years now.
Is it true? Like a kilo is worth like $3,000 or something?
Right
like
now?
That? Yeah.
It's totally illegal.
Totally
and
illegal.
It's been totally illegal for 3 years.
Okay.
So
I mean, I was doing a little bit of research on this. It's absolutely insane. Like it's a mafia run business. The poachers are out there, but of course it's totally corrupt. And the guys who are busting the poachers are really the poachers themselves.
Yeah.
And they put on this whole show with machine guns and high speed boats
sure.
when in fact they're the ones who are killing off these
no,
fish.
No, exactly. Yeah. It's a corrupt situation.
Right.
It was always, people would always come in, you should take a trip to the Caspian and, you know, go look at the caviar. Like, you know, I don't really want to be involved in
right.
that scene.
Right.
I don't need to risk my life.
Yeah, that's not what you're after.
Yeah.
Just for the people who don't know, give us a little history on you and your background in fish, and I guess the whole legacy, because you are part of a New York legacy.
Yeah. Well, I'm the fourth generation of this business. Mm-hmm. My great grandfather Joel Russ mm-hmm. had three daughters. And when he brought the girls into the business,
three hot daughters.
That's disgusting. One of them is my grandmother, dude.
She was an attractive young lady. I've seen black and white photographs.
Awesome. Thanks for that. That's much appreciated. He named the business Russ and Daughters mm-hmm. after he brought the girls into the store.
Right.
And the last daughter and they all met their husbands in the business. And
okay.
My grandmother and grandfather were the last couple running the business till 78. My grandfather got sick.
Okay.
And my uncle came in. My cousin, who I run the business with, her father, came in 78
right.
and has owned and run the business until... I've been running the business for a while with Nikki.
Okay.
We recently transferred ownership.
Right.
So me and her now own the business.
Which is amazing. So, and I know you guys sort of... You fought it for a little while there. When you were younger, you didn't really... It's like you were
Nikki.
Off doing... Nikki
yeah,
fought
yeah.
it more than you did.
Well, I had it, no...
it sucked
connection.
You back in.
It sucked. It sucked her back in.
Yeah.
I think growing up, it's yeah. not an easy business to run.
Right.
It's a retail business.
Yep.
I don't know if it's as difficult as a restaurant, but you put a lot of your life into
I
that.
I would think so.
So Nikki... My cousin.
And you guys are known for being the most fastidious sort of, I mean, seriously, I mean, everything is handled with such care
yeah.
that it's not like, yeah, well, I you know,
yeah, imagine,
show up this
imagine
morning.
Imagine the dude that runs that business.
Right, right.
Always stressed out.
Always stressed.
Pissed off because it doesn't look right.
Exactly. And what were you doing beforehand?
I was an engineer out west working mm-hmm. in semiconductors. Designing polishes for microchip wafers,
wow.
like something absurd.
Wow.
The toughest part of my job
yeah.
was explaining what I did to my family.
Right. So you decided to go back into fish because it was a whole lot easier.
Well, I was never involved in fish.
Right.
That's why Nikki grew up in this business. Mm-hmm. And her parents were always working.
Right.
So I think it was really difficult for her to be involved.
Yep.
But I came in before she really committed to the business.
Okay.
And her father sort of stepped away. Mm-hmm. I know if my father was running the business, I would not have.
No way.
No. Exactly. It's not going
to
happen.
Nikki's actually the person who I first introduced me to the place. Mm. And she's a great sort of spokesperson for the company.
Yeah, but, yeah. She's good. And he's a lot better at putting on, and she's cute, but putting on the pretty face. And
acting she loves like, it. It looks like she loves it.
I love it, too, love it too. But yeah. I'm also a little bit too honest. Like right. if I'm not having a good day, I'll right. be like, you know what? Go F yourself.
But apparently that goes back to Joel, the founder.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess he used to tell
me. I'm more like my great grandfather.
That's right.
Forget the address.
Never come back kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Who told you to shop here?
Right. Interesting. Now, you brought some caviar with you today, right?
Yes, I did.
What can you teach us about this? This is probably the most exciting day for me ever.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's quite a bit of this for two people, actually. So,
well, let me start with these little guys, and this is pretty customary, right? These are the
toast points.
Yep.
Mini toasts. Mm-hmm. We sell these packaged, mm-hmm. basically for lazy people.
Okay.
But if you buy Wonder Bread and toast it, it's, mm-hmm. it's a lot better than getting these mini toasts.
Okay. And what goes into, I know in terms of packing caviar, it's a really serious, like your guy's been with you how many years?
Our caviar packer. And it really, actually this year, just because caviar packing, it's not terribly difficult, mm-hmm. but if it's not done right, uh-huh. it's actually a problem because then there's air in the tins.
I see.
So the guy that packs our caviar, I only let him do it this year. Like no one else could do it. My aunt tried to do it and I told her she couldn't. She got all pissed off. But he's been with us 33 years.
And I mean, the whole idea is that these little pearls have to be like totally intact, right? If you start mushing them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Not to break the eggs okay. and to fill the tins such that there's no air getting into the tin.
Right.
Which is the most important thing.
Okay. And then you were explaining to me the rubber bands signify something too with the different...
Typically, and it's been a while since yeah. we've gotten this wild stuff, mm-hmm. but the Beluga, I think, were yellow rubber bands.
Okay.
The Ocetra were blue rubber bands, and right. the Savruga, which are like the three main caviars traditionally from the Caspian.
Yep.
This is all sort of...
How many years ago are we talking before they put the ban on it?
It's probably 5 or 6 now.
5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And that, when you guys were selling it, would a little tin like this of Beluga would have gone for what back in the day?
It was a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it is now. Maybe a couple $100.
Okay. Okay. And apparently on the black market now, it's in the thousands of dollars. Yeah.
For that little tin.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Insane. Let's try it. Can we?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, awesome.
Here, I'll hold it. Okay. You dig in.
All right. And you're not a firm believer in the toast and the creme fraiche and the bellini that.
Caviar for me. Caviar is something that there's a lot of ideas around it. You should eat it with eggs.
Yeah.
You should eat it with this. I brought caviar to New Year's mm-hmm. and brought bagel chips.
Okay.
Which are like these kind of... You know, we add oil and salt and pepper,
right.
and I brought a tin of caviar and was digging in with bagel chips. But I like mostly I
that's
eat
that's because you're
a spoon.
In the business. That's because you can afford to do that. It's like, all right. So what? But what's with the hand? I mean, I've seen a lot of people do this. What the?
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, you basically
put it on your hand, like
the concept would be, and I don't know if it's necessary for if you're using plastic or bone or mother of pearl, mm-hmm. but you don't want to impart or affect the flavor with the utensil you're serving it with.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And because what was it? Sterling silver will oxidize. Is that right?
No, I think precious metals might be. No, silver will.
Silver.
I don't think
gold is
does.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you should use your gold spoon when you're eating caviar. Just pull out your gold spoon.
It's more bone spoons okay. or not any endangered animals,
right,
of course.
Right.
Or no, mother of pearl.
No ivory.
No okay. ivory spoons.
Or scrimshaw. Okay.
What?
So
what the hell is scrimshaw?
Oh, like, you know, when they do the artwork on the whalebone?
Yeah.
I guess that's also a black market trade.
Yeah. Okay. Don't do that.
What am I eating here?
That is paddlefish.
Oh, it's incredible. That's incredible. Now,
so the paddlefish is like a we describe it like Sevruga. So it's a little stronger flavor. Usually a little more salt.
Right.
This year we got some paddlefish. Was that salty?
Salty.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay. We got some that was very mild and almost not like paddlefish, but delicious. But I like it with a little salt.
I thought it was fantastic.
I'm a salt person.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. And this one?
This other one is hackleback.
Okay.
So again, these paddlefish and hackleback are sort of cousins to
and
the
these
sturgeon.
Are American, right?
American, wild.
Wild. Oh, these are both wild.
They're both wild. Recently, in the past year or two, they're putting controls on it, which is the way to do it.
Right.
So if you have controls on the fishing, this goes back to the poaching thing, and you're able to maintain that, then you should be able to continue producing.
Because there's even poaching now in the United States to a degree.
Well, we have a lot more controls than the Caspian can.
Right.
Because you got all these states boarding the Caspian. So it's a lot more difficult to control that.
I see.
So the United States, we're in a better position to maintain these fish.
Okay.
And to make sure they don't go away. But that's one of the biggest problems. There's international treaties and all this stuff on endangered species and that are meant to control the Caspian fishing and poaching and everything else, but it's just not working so well, which is why populations are depleting still. So that's why they didn't issue any quotas.
It's interesting. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to ask you about, you know, farming sturgeon and farming other fish and how that is going to affect the market and how it affects the taste and your opinion on all that. You heard it here. Catch it, cook it, and eat it. I'm with Josh from Russ and Daughters, and it's a real honor to have him on the show.
Without the law, but I'm still on top. Back where SSG record sales won't flop. That's what you thought, but I'm in that new Porsche. No box, earrings, chain on, no watch. Picture a grandfather clock with diamonds. That's just the kind of mind state that I'm in. Caviar, Cartier, Carter drive on my neck, collar there. Cute shorty, call it there.
Come here.
I'm on my P's and my Q's. Stones green to the blue. 23s when I cruise. Build my cap, muscle on the gas and the brake pedal. Ain't another youngin' on my bank level.
Where you at?
I'm like her, never late. Please see clear, it's no blur. Yes, sir.
On a mission, wishing upon a star. Young Bad Weezy with the caviar.
In the back of a limo, no demo, this is the real. Breaking niggas down like Evander Holyfield.
On a mission, wishing upon a star. Young Bad Weezy with the caviar.
In the back of a limo, no demo, this is the real. Breaking niggas down like Evander Holyfield.
Hey, hey, we're back. Catch it, cook it, and eat it. I am here with Josh from the Russ and Daughters long line of fish experts. You are fourth generation of that family, and you're basically running the business now, right?
Yeah, running, own.
Doing the work, taking all the heat and all the good and bad that comes with
all
it.
All the good and bad. And still cutting fish.
And still cutting
if
fish.
You ever really need to...
I know Martha Stewart gave you a hard time about that.
That was total crap. Can I say that?
Yeah. And you
she
also...
She was busting my chops big time.
I did a little segment with her. Oh, yeah. And I have to say that we share something in common. You almost lit her on fire, which was pretty awesome. That was the biggest fire I've ever seen in the
that
studio.
Was her doing. You could watch that a few more times.
Was it the oil? It splattered? What happened?
Well, the schmaltz was in the pan. Schmaltz. I was making chopped liver on her show.
Yeah.
And one of the prep cooks turned on the stove to heat up the pan.
Right.
So I watched it a few times. And I was like, how the hell, how did that happen? Like, what went on there? She cranked up the heat like 2 minutes before I put the oil in. So as soon as I put the oil in and moved it around, it exploded.
It was burning hot by the
but
time
she,
it went in.
But she knew that. She has a lot of experience.
This thing was no joke. It was like 9 feet higher.
She was in back of me saying, calm down. It's okay. I'm like, you know, freaking out.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, my friends had me do a little, glue gun art for her before I went on the show.
What?
Like, because she, you know, she's into all her little tchotchkes, right?
Yeah, so arts and crafts, right?
So I made a clam, and I, you know, it had a little tongue, and it had some googly eyes, and because I was doing clam chowder, right? And then right before I ran out, I went and put a little hair piece on top of
God.
It. Well, I handed it to her, and the studio freaked out. I'm not going to say what it looked like, but let's just say that they took it the wrong way.
A clam with a hairpiece.
Exactly. It's not pretty. And the cameraman shot his camera down to the floor. And when you see the out on that segment, there is no like proper like, and thanks for coming. They were just like, get this guy off the show.
Wow.
Anyways.
Not your intention at all.
No, it really wasn't. No, it really sure wasn't. So the sturgeon, the proper sturgeon is seriously in jeopardy. And
wild sturgeon, and you now have
all these farms that are popping up all over the place that are trying to fill that void. And hopefully, the idea is obviously right that it's going to help those wild populations come back at some point.
Yes,
whether or not they can, we don't know.
Yeah, that is true. The idea is to let people continue to enjoy caviar,
right?
And we've been in this business for 90 years, Russ and Daughters.
Yeah,
and 20 years ago, we had some farms coming to us asking us to taste this stuff. It was terrible.
Okay.
It was terrible.
Because they just hadn't figured it out at that time.
I mean, most of the sturgeons that are being farmed right now are Ocetras, and they take 10 to 14 years before they're ready to produce eggs.
Right.
And then it happens maybe every 3 years. So that's the commitment before any return on investment, just to get a fish. Right. Just to get an egg.
Unbelievable. And then at that point, you have to kill the fish to get the eggs.
Yes, and there's some people you mentioned
trying to milk the fish, right?
And
reintroduce it into its
exactly,
water.
Which would be a great concept, would be fantastic, but it just doesn't work.
It doesn't work
yet.
Okay,
hopefully they'll figure it out. Just like I just said, it was terrible 15, 20 years ago.
Right,
the farmed caviar right now is better than any of the wild caviar I've ever tasted. It's totally controlled. It's harvested some of this caviar. I mean, the stuff we just tasted, it's literally probably harvested less than a month ago. I got this the last minute before the end of the year.
That would make a lot of sense to me in that, like, you know, because you've been watching this, you know, fish from the time it was a tiny little speck to...
These are wild, though.
Right, but I'm just saying in terms of the farmed, you would. So
you
know exactly when it's
harvested,
ovulating.
You get it as fresh as possible.
Okay.
The maturity of the egg obviously plays a role in the quality of the caviar.
Okay.
And they figure that out. Temperature of the water.
Right.
There's so many different variables. And I talked to some people that are doing this stuff. It's amazing.
Is a wild fish, I mean, a wild fish is like out there roaming, so you can't control obviously what it's eating, right?
Yeah.
So it could taste nasty because that day it ate bugs or whatever.
Exactly. A lot more variable. The wild fish are a lot more variable and the farm fish are a lot more controlled.
Right.
But very fresh. I mean, the wild stuff coming from the Caspian Sea, sometimes you don't know how it was handled before it was properly handled.
And that, you know,
we got it from a reputable people.
Yep.
But before that, we didn't know, you know, it could have been through three or four hands, and and sometimes it was really bad.
Right. Somebody was telling me, like, I know you're a fisherman. I love to fish. I guess I want to say, where is it? Oh, man.
Sturgeon fishing?
Where's the paddle fish coming from?
Like the Tennessee River Valley, Mississippi River Valley.
Right. I guess that they have a program set up now so that it's sort of like the Game and Wildlife Department has a hand in the filleting of the fish. So a fisherman can bring the fish. They monitor it.
Oh, really?
They're taking all its stats so they can keep control over it. But they're also packing the caviar.
Right.
So
the U.S. Fish and Wildlife is packing caviar?
I think so. Or a division of them.
They're very closely monitoring what's going on there, which is good.
Which is good.
For the populations, yeah.
Yeah. And what's your favorite, would you say, out of...
My favorite caviar?
Yeah.
It's like asking me what my favorite smoked salmon is or anything else, and it'll change.
Okay.
And that paddlefish that's the cheapest of our four or five caviars right now, and that was probably my favorite this year.
That is amazing.
It's definitely saltier than the others. The eggs are nice. The texture's nice. The taste is great. It's not too overpowering. And it's excellent. And you can eat it with a bagel chip.
Right. You can eat it with a bagel.
I can eat it with a bagel.
Yeah, but I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me. I just like, there's a lot of hype built up around caviar, obviously. And, you know, when it comes down to it, it's not all about the most exotic, expensive caviar. It's personal preference.
Like anything else. You know, people constantly come into my store and say, what's your best salmon?
What salmon
do you like the best?
Right.
Same with caviar. I mean, what taste do you like the best? And the biggest misnomer about caviar in the going out there and buying caviar is I like beluga.
Right.
And I only eat beluga,
right.
or which obviously is illegal right now, but I only eat Ocetra from wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Every tin is so different
that
you just can't say that.
Right. Oh, you know, you were explaining that to me. So when like, I mean, obviously you can't control the wild fish, but also like each one of these is, at least in the case of Ocetra, right, is coming from a specific fish. Like they're not mixing eggs before they pack it.
I'm not sure exactly how they're packing this stuff, but I think there's enough eggs in the fish that they harvest in the farms, especially Ocetras, they're larger fish, that we get large, like 2 kilo original tins is what they're called.
Okay.
And then pack different sizes depending on what people are ordering. So I think it's mainly one fish. It's not, you can mix fish of the same species.
Okay.
You cannot mix species of fish.
Right, right. And who inspects the caviar? Or the roe, I should say now.
Inspects.
Yeah, when it comes to you, is there somebody who's, looking at it before your customer?
Yeah, me.
You. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And how did you learn the business? Who taught you?
My uncle, our manager of the store, Herman.
Okay. Herman's been there forever too, right?
He's been there for over 30 years as well. It's really amazing, but they're great guys. And, we couldn't be doing this without them.
Is it 2014? You guys are on your 100th
year?
100th year.
Yeah.
In that same spot. Pretty much.
I think maybe a couple years, like 14 to 17 or 18 was around the corner. But
it's pretty 100
years of the business.
And I mean, the neighborhood has obviously changed a lot. You live there now.
Yeah.
Would you say for good or for bad, this sort of gentrification that's happened around your store?
Difficult question.
Yeah.
Because it is gentrification. Mm-hmm. I look at it like a lot of other parts of Manhattan. It's sort of homogenizing in a way that you have a lot of people with the same similar backgrounds.
Right.
Not racially homogenous, but...
Attitude and economics homogenous, for sure. Yeah,
which in any environment is kind of, lowers the differences. And the reason the Lower East Side is so popular right now is because it was nasty and cheap,
right,
and all those artists and musicians and interesting people lived there in the past.
Yeah,
and there are very few of those anymore. And the ones that are there are like famous,
right?
So they're still sort of trying to live the old way, but they make tons of money. So it's like it's weird.
But of this new generation of money makers, I would imagine
it's good for business.
I was just gonna say they eat caviar.
Yeah, it's not bad. You have a bunch of people in the neighborhood that shop in the store.
Right.
Whereas the 80s,
not a lot of
even
caviar
the early
90s
but people had to travel to come to us, and
which was cool.
Fine.
Yeah.
But no one in the neighborhood shopped in the store.
Right.
Walked by us every day, but they never stopped it.
And what do you think accounts for the stores like you guys that have not been able to withstand the test of time? I mean, there have been some fabulous ones that have closed in the neighborhood. What makes, how come you guys have the staying power?
Well, I mean these old businesses, it's hard. I always get asked this question, and thankfully, I don't know how we got through the second generation, the third generation, because it's difficult, and it's like less than 1% of businesses get to the third generation or fourth generation.
Right.
Sure, it's less than that.
Right.
But it was always a survival mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my great-grandfather and his daughters and the husbands of the daughters, they never kept any records really kept any pictures. People always like, do you have any old pictures?
Nope, not really.
I mean, we have a few.
Because you never knew it was going to be a thing.
No one cared.
In the era.
We have some family pictures, but.
Yeah. Huh. And so, you're coming back to it. Do you think there was any piece of you feeling like, hey, if I don't get involved here, like this might not, they need my help?
Well, that's why I came back, is my uncle was sort of preparing himself to retire.
Okay.
He wasn't that young, but he was, I wasn't that old, but he was thinking into the future.
Right.
And family history started being more and more important to me. And I said, hey, look, if you're going to sell this business and have it leave the family, I will quit my job. Amazing. And come back and take over. And that's what brought me into the business, because I was never there before.
Wow.
So yeah, it was a leap of faith.
And I've always wondered about this, but you have these guys that have been there 30 years and they've been running the show, and then some little hotshot comes, you know, in off the off the scene, and he's like, I'm boss now. How does that go down? I mean, you're the guy who, you
it's
know,
second
gets
time
asked to come on the radio and do Martha Stewart spots, and but you know, they're the guys who've been putting in the time and hours.
Yeah, it's funny. This is the second time I've done this in my career. Mm-hmm. I was the young engineer that was managing the old dudes, and
right.
They're like, who the heck are you?
Who are you? Yeah.
But my concept is you're able to do everything better than they can do it by learning it and emptying the trash and washing everything else. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our manager, we try to get him involved.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a lot of knowledge of products and everything else.
Yeah.
But the one of the allures of the business is I'm a fourth generation of the family that owns
it's
the business.
So incredible.
Which we want to perpetuate. And it's kind of amazing.
Yep.
You know, it's what our society is really founded on, is all these family businesses that are disappearing. So that's an important part of who we are.
Yeah.
So no one has any problem with that.
Right.
But
right.
at the same time, I mean, Herman Vargas, our manager, is you know, one of the, I mean, he really holds the business together.
And is it true that one of the guys, is it Jose? One of the guys actually speaks Yiddish. He's from the DR.
They both do. They're both
He's
Dominican.
He's been there for so long that he grew up with your grandparents speaking Yiddish in the shop.
They're cousins.
Oh,
they've been there for over 30 years.
Yeah.
I don't speak Yiddish. I'm sorry.
It's all right, man.
But these guys do speak Yiddish, and it's pretty amazing. They started out in their teens when the old guard, you know, like these old Jewish employees were there, all these old Jewish customers.
Right.
They were like, who are these guys? They can't wait on me.
Right.
You know? So they picked up Yiddish.
Right.
And they'd start bantering, like going back and forth. Yeah, right.
I heard what you said about
me. So they
could
take customers.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And what was it? Something I read about the guy who packs the caviar, that he actually really dislikes caviar. So the running joke is either that he's not going to steal tastes of it, because you know that, or if he messes up, you force him to taste it. If he breaks too many caviar eggs.
The weird thing is, he's not a huge caviar or smoked fish fan.
It's perfect, right?
But when he tastes it, and he actually knows, which is amazing to me, because he tastes it so rarely. But he can see it, because part of looking at caviar and evaluating caviar is look.
Right.
Part is texture and part is taste.
Okay. And how did the shop go from being a sort of a... I mean, it was never an affluent, smoked fish and roe and caviar and all these things were not for the highfalutin crowds, right?
No.
What
it originated, it was immigrant food.
Right.
You know, that turn of the century, that was like the most densely populated area of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this Eastern European smoked and pickled fish and roe, salmon roe.
Yeah.
What changed was the availability of the products.
Mm-hmm.
So it became, it has become more expensive.
It's so
gourmet and upper class.
I mean, it's just interesting to me, because your great great grandfather, is that right, Joel?
Yeah.
Never have been able to get into this business, being an immigrant Jew from Russia, Poland, whatever. I mean, Germany, Poland area, right?
Yeah, Russia.
How would you ever jump into a business like this when you started with a sack on your back, you know? But I guess a push cart. So right. And but at the time, I guess it was cheap to get into fish, and now it's just herring.
Herring is still cheap, honestly.
And guys are known for your herring as much as you are your
smoked. We have a huge selection of herring.
Right. It's incredible. I have to say, it's not my favorite flavor. I'm a huge fan of smoked anything.
Mm-hmm.
I love caviar, but the herring thing I'm working on. It's new for me.
We have a lot of different flavors of herring.
I'm going to have to come for
In all honesty.
An education in it.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of pickled herring either.
No.
But we have like a Dutch herring, which is like a little bit cured, a saltier right. herring.
Right.
Like a cranberry cinnamon herring.
Right.
Mustard dill. Like all these flavors of herring that are actually really good.
Is there a time that's best to come to, you know, annoy you and ask you questions? Because sometimes I walk in there and I
think... Not after this airs.
Now it's going to be completely blown out. No, but seriously, because it is so much fun to walk into that shop. It is yeah. one of my favorite places, you know, on earth. But it's hard because sometimes, I mean, there are regulars there that will scare the bejesus out of you. Like,
well, definitely right. the weekends are a lot busier than during the week.
Okay.
So if you want to come in and relax and right. chat, right. It's got to be during the week and okay. off hours, like mid-morning, mid-afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We usually get a lunch rush,
okay,
an evening rush for people getting stuff for the next morning.
Yeah.
And sometimes a morning rush for like breakfast type stuff.
Great.
So,
great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you heard it here, Josh. Sorry, we gotta. I would love to have you back another day for many yeah, right. hours, but you can school me some more in this.
Right.
Thank you so much for bringing this unbelievable caviar on the show and for bringing yourself an expert in caviar and all things fish. You heard it here. Catch it, cook it, and eat it. Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Good deal.